Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. All these blondes that are about to go darker for fall, just add a root, sister. Don't go darker all the way.
No.
And if your stylist does, she probably hates you because that is, it's murder on your hair trying to go back.
I'll let your money that much.
No. You tell me pull down my root a little more? Bet, sister. Give it a little bit of below light? Bet, sister. But please don't go from like blonde to black if you know you're going to want to be blonde again in the summer.
And even my blondes, honestly, this is like a technical term and the only other people that will understand what I'm about to say are hairdressers. I will do, like the other day, I added low light on a blonde. I didn't fill it or anything. I just used a demo.
But I put shades darker than what I want to do, so it'll just depend.
That's what I told her. I was like, this will be perfect. Like, this is perfect, but I also know you very well.
And I know this is going to fade out and you're going to come back and be like, you know what, let's stretch up the blonde.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just keep that in mind. Just in general,
if you are a blonde, do not try to take your hair dark yourself. And I'm actually thinking of that one specific client that I had to do that color correction on with the green.
Oh, yeah.
That one.
Yeah, you can't
just put color over blondes normally.
You can if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I know I just said I do that, but I do that because I know what I'm doing. If you do that at home and you don't understand color theory and you don't understand underlying pigments and all that stuff, then you can get like that murky green, literally swamp water hair.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to go from blonde to dark on your own. Get assistance for that. Pay someone to do that for you. Someone who knows what they're doing, because
it's not easy.
It's not a best for you.
You would think that it would be easy. It's not.
That's actually one of the most, like, if you think about it, like, technically, you have to really, like, understand color theory and what you're doing, or you can make, like, a really bad mistake. That's one of, like, that's technical. That's not just an easy thing, and that's the one thing people always think is easy. And then not just that box color. Once you put that box color on that blonde, pretty much expect for it to stay there.
No going back.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Transition music.
Okay, guys, today we're going to talk about Patrice Indes. She's a 38-year-old young lady out of Cumming, Georgia, which we've been to Forsyth County before. She's a salon owner, and she's mother to one son whose name is Pistol Black, which, hell of a name, sister. One hell of a name. Everybody says Patrice is, like, the bubbliest, nicest, you know, sweetest person you could ever be around, has a lot of friends, the kind of lady that would go out of her way to say hi to you, you know? And she is married to Rob. Rob is 20 years her senior when they get married. They get married when Patrice is 30, Rob is 50. And Rob is pretty much described as the complete opposite of Patrice. He is jealous and controlling. He's jealous of the time she spends with friends. She's jealous of her relationship with Pistol. He's jealous of everything. Now, to hear Rob tell it, Rob is never jealous, and they never argued. He also claims that Pistol was jealous of the relationship that he and Patrice had, but it was like, literally everyone saw that the other way around, my guy. Like,
yeah.
we might need some therapy. Also, so this was an episode of the new Unsolved Mystery series on Netflix, right? I think it's like season one, episode two, I want to say. Okay. But in his interview, Rolab tells the whole fucking world that, yeah, he's got a degree in criminology. So just keep that in mind, children. We are going to go to April 15th, 2004. The timeline goes, Patrice drops Pistol off at school. He's a 10th grader at the time, so she drops him off high school and drives her Tahoe to her shop. Her first client is at 9. And kind of that whole, everybody that she has that morning is like, she was like real distracted. Like she wasn't present with me. It wasn't normal Patrice.
Okay. And I trust those people know her pretty well because...
Right. If you have an established clientele, they know how their appointment usually goes.
Right.
And so we are now at 11:37 and Patrice has just hung up the phone with a client. And that client, when contacted, said that Patrice was like real quick to get off the phone. And that also was not normal. Yeah. Now, at 11:45, two separate witnesses report saying a car parked at the shop, which was parked right in front of the door to the shop. This was a light blue car, and the one lady is adamant that it was a Chevy Lumina. The other witness said it could have been any, like, smaller car like that, like a Ford Taurus or a Chevy Lumina, like, something along those lines, something that looks similar.
But the parking lot was, like, right off the road, right?
Yeah, it was, like, right there.
Right there. Okay, that's what I was thinking, just directly. Well,
usually... Patrice's car is, her Tahoe is backed in by the side of the building. Off, it looks like to the, like, if you're facing the building to the left.
Okay.
She parks right there. She backs her truck in. And that's where it always is. Well, today it is pulled forward and it's kind of like cavy corner in front of where the door is. Like, it's like she whooped it around to the door.
But as I said, like, she ran in because she forgot something.
Yeah. The witnesses report... The door to the salon is open and there are, one witness says there are two women out front. One says that there's a man with shoulder length hair, which the other one says that it's two women, one with shoulder length dark hair and one who looked like maybe an older woman.
You're driving by. So
and we're not sure which side they're coming from or whatever, but they see two people out there and it just like the exchange didn't look normal.
Right. It was just off.
Yeah. And then at 11:50, Patrice misses a call from a client. So we know she was not able to answer that because that's also unusual. Now, it is unclear on what the time was, but a client shows up for their appointment. So Patrice's car parked out front. They walk in. No Patrice. The cash register is open. Cash is missing. But her purse, her phone is still there.
Okay.
But the rest of the salon, nothing's been tossed around. Nothing's out of place. Same tidy little shop it always is.
But, I mean, honestly, why toss the shop if you're just wanting to, like, get money? And obviously, it's weird to leave her purse and her phone. But it doesn't make sense to toss the shop. Because, like, our shoes are really expensive. But, like, people don't know that.
Don't know that.
So it makes sense that go for...
And they also don't know how to tell expensive shears from not expensive.
Right.
So when police get there, they find much of the same. No Patrice. Purse there. Cell phone there, which is how they get the call log. And they find her lunch in the back on the counter by the microwave. So, like, she was getting ready to eat lunch.
Right. She was sitting down, her little break.
Immediately, they do, a search of the area.
Hold on, time out. Does she work in this shop alone? I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Okay. As far as I can tell, it's just her in there.
Okay.
Immediately, they do a search. Zero results. Nothing comes back. And that same day that Patrice is reported missing, Rob locks Pistol out of the house. Now, Rob and Pistol have a very bad relationship. Pistol basically does not remember this man in a fond light. And, like, to this day, Rob hates Pistol. Basically says that, like, I didn't see any future in this kid when I was with Patrice. And, like, so I just didn't put much stock in it. Like, I don't know what Pistol did.
And his mom's missing, so fuck him. I don't have a reason to hang around.
Right, exactly.
Nice of him.
Like, literally says, well, yeah, I changed the lock because I didn't want the mental anguish of having Pistol around.
It's like, what the fuck?
So already he doesn't look like a great guy. You know what I mean?
Immediately, all the friends are like, look at Rob. Y'all need to look at Rob.
Right. Reaction, bro.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and Rob has time-stamped receipts from a gas station that he pulls out. And he's got his time clock where he clocked in that day. And all kinds of stuff. And the police do say, like, on Unsolved Mysteries, Rob is, like, concrete. They're like, yeah, that proves I didn't do it. But they're like, that proves that it would have been real hard for him to do it. It doesn't rule out murder for hire.
Right.
But here's the thing about that, is that Pistol says that his mom, Patrice, was ready to divorce Rob. Rob denies, and of course, he's like, no, we never had problems, we never fought.
Right.
Like, what? If she wanted to divorce me, that was news to me.
Right.
You know. And so, Pistol was like, yeah, no, I've always felt like this had something to do with the fact that, like, she wanted to leave Rob. It was like, wait, weird. And so she goes missing again on April 15th, 2004. Fast forward to December the 6th, 2005. This is 600 days she has been missing. And two men working at Lebanon Baptist Church in Dawson County, Georgia, so not far from
Kelly, right.
They find a skull. They're on the property. They see some buzzards, and they're like, I'm going to go check this out. See, they find a dead deer. But then right next to one of the men is a skull sitting there.
What are the odds that that's where the deer
is? I know it. And so, of course, it's tested. They figure out that this is Patrice. They go comb the area. They find almost all of her bones. They didn't ever give you, like, a full count, but I'm guessing, like, there's a ton of tiny little bones, like, in your hands and your ankles and stuff. I'm not so sure that they could find all of those. Now, here's where things get a little bit weirder for Rob. After she's found and the people who are going to prepare her remains have possession of her, he asks them to reassemble her skeleton. And then he goes into the room alone, does not invite any other family member, not Pistol for sure, but not even Patrice's dad. He goes in there alone and admits that he just carries around her skull with him for a minute and then puts her back and when he's done and then sends her off to be cremated. Grief does do weird things.
But that's extra fucking weird.
We're not done.
Oh, no.
He gets the cremains back, will not give any of them to Pistol. It literally says in the interview, I'm not interested in sharing them with anyone, especially not Pistol. Why? That's her baby.
And what do you think is going to happen if you share a scoop?
Yeah, I don't. Of his mother.
Right. That's weird behavior.
Well, On the TV show, apparently he looks at the actual cremains in the bag for the first time, which I found interesting, but he slept with the box of her cremains in the bed for several months. Now, what they don't tell you in the documentary is this man is remarried.
Well,
now she's in the closet since he's remarried, but he still has her cremains.
Then give her to her son. You don't accomplish anything from that.
This weird control stuff is what makes me really like Gary Michael Hilton was considered, which may or may not be an episode coming on him.
Okay.
He was a serial killer that killed up and down, like, Appalachian Trail area, Georgia wilderness, and was confirmed to have been in Forsyth County, has a traffic tip ticket from Forsyth County, was there around the time that this happened.
Uh-oh.
So it's very possible for him to have done it. Now, Gary Michael Hill never really got, like, any kind of leeway there, but they were like, this is a possibility.
Yeah.
Because Hilton had said at one time that he would like to go beg for money, basically.
Yeah.
And that he liked to go into hair salons at lunchtime. And if she was in there alone, he probably just said, oh, well, this is my opportunity. This is what we're doing.
Because somebody else would have had to take a car there. If they took her.
Right.
So that makes
sense. Well, and the blue car is not there. Right. So I wonder if she was pulling up, because I do that all the time. Think of how many times
it's like a 13-minute span from the phone call to the missed call.
But why would she be leaving in the middle of the day? It's another like weird thing too, though. Like
when her lunch was sitting there out of the counter, it's not like she was going to get lunch.
Right.
Did she?
Well, as I'm making up scenarios, it could be literally anything.
Well, there was another guy named Jeremy Jones who also confessed to killing several women around that time. Who confessed to killing Patrice, but when he gave the details, didn't exactly match up. A lot of it matched up until it got to where he put her body. And then...
But how much had been in the newspapers, and he had already read about, well, like, went missing, yeah.
But, so he later recants. But they haven't, like, completely cleared him off the table either. So, it's still unsolved. Nobody knows what happened. If you have any idea what happened, please call the Georgia Bureau of Investigation tip line. I believe you can leave things anonymously there at 800-597-8477.
Never, ever confess to something you did not do.
No. No. Because it does nothing but, like, muddy the waters, you know?
It's fucking weird.
Well, I mean, if you can break somebody down psychologically like that.
I mean, okay, yeah, there too. But then some people that just, like, show up and, like, they're weird about it, that's weird to me.
And, I mean, I think that you're always wary of a serial killer confessing to things. Because, like, are you just trying to add bodies to your count?
Right.
Like,
is that what you did this whole thing for?
Right.
That's interesting. Well, this is another one of those. I don't think anything will ever, because, I mean, they've either found her and there's nothing.
Yeah, and I mean, even skeletal, you would be able to see, like, if she was shot in the head or, you know, anything. Like,
it's just weird.
It's weird.
If you have any ideas about it, tell us, please.
If you know anything about it, don't tell us. Tell the GBI.
Yes, please.
If you know anything about the blue car,
yeah,
who it could have been.
Because people, I mean, eventually talk about stuff.
And that's literally how you get caught, too. So if you commit a crime, don't talk about it.
But eventually people talk about it.
If you know somebody with a little blue car that was acting real fucking weird around April 15th of 2004, call.
Even if, like, they weren't doing anything, just they were just acting weird and they have a blue car.
Honestly, like, at this point, what's that hurt?
It doesn't. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.